The last 400 years before Christ, chapter 125. I have told you about many prophets of the Lord, such as Elijah and Elisha, Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel and Daniel. The two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, lived during the time of Joshua and Zerubbabel, after they had returned from Babylon to the land of Canaan and had rebuilt the temple. Probably you are thinking, didn't any prophets live during the time of Nehemiah? Yes, during his time the prophet Malachi preached. He showed the people the great sins in which they lived. He showed them their unthankfulness. The Lord had at this time delivered them from the captivity of Babylon. The temple had been rebuilt. The walls around Jerusalem had been restored. The fields around the city were being cultivated. Ezekiel's prophecy had been fulfilled. Really, the Jewish people should have been very thankful. They should have shown their gratitude toward God, who had protected and so wonderfully helped them in everything. And what was their response to all these benefits and blessings of the Lord? They again forsook the Lord. Did they worship idols? No, they didn't become idolaters as before the captivity, when they had continually raised up idolatrous images and bowed themselves before these stone and wood images. After the captivity, they no longer practiced idol worship. They had learned to forsake idolatry for good. But now they committed other sins. We told you something of that in the previous chapter. They married heathen girls, and by so doing, they mingled with the heathen nations around them. They desecrated the day of the Lord, and many of the Jewish people considered that day as an ordinary work day. Alas, God's day is being desecrated and neglected in our country too. Malachi admonished the Jewish people concerning those sins, but he also had a joyful message for his nation. He prophesied it wouldn't be long before the Lord Jesus would be born. Do you know what he said about that? No? Then you must read what the Bible says. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. With the Lord, he means the Lord Jesus, the coming deliverer. Malachi was the last prophet. Once more it was shown to the Jewish nation and that the Savior would come shortly. There wasn't another prophet after the death of Malachi. This made him the last prophet of the Old Testament. In the future, the Jewish people must believingly wait for the fulfillment of God's promises. Do you know how long it really was before the Lord Jesus was born? Another 4 centuries, another 400 years. You did not think that, did you? In this chapter, I will tell you something about these last 400 years. You also should know something about what took place with the Jews during this time. Listen, you must be very attentive, because it really is a little too difficult for young children like you to understand. After Nehemiah died, the Jewish people continued to live under the dominion of Persia for about 100 years. The Persian kings were good to the Jews. Many times they helped and protected them. However, the power and dominion of the Persian kingdom came to an abrupt end. Another empire arose, which became strong and powerful. This kingdom was called Macedonia. Alexander reigned over Macedonia. Although he was a young king, he was a very wise and sensible king. Therefore, he was called Alexander the Great. The Persian armies were defeated by Alexander the Great. Shushan, the capital of Persia, was conquered. This event caused Alexander, the king of Macedonia, to reign over the Persian kingdom, thereby also making this prince to reign over Palestine, where the Jews lived. Do you still remember the dream of Nebuchadnezzar? Didn't he see in his dream a beautiful image? The golden head was Nebuchadnezzar himself. The silver breast and arms were the Persian kings. The belly and thighs of this image were of brass, weren't they? The kingdom of Alexander the Great was meant by this brass belly and thighs. That part of the dream was fulfilled in him. Alexander the Great thought much of the Jews. He did not make life miserable for them. But this mighty monarch died suddenly in the 32nd year of his life. He had no children who could succeed him. All at once, that great kingdom was without a king. And do you know what happened then? His four mightiest generals divided the land into four portions. A general ruled over each portion. One of the generals went to live in Egypt, and as Palestine belonged to this portion, the Jewish people now came under the dominion of the king of Egypt. This continued for 100 years. During those 100 years, the Jews lived in quietness and prosperity. The Egyptian kings were good to the Jewish people. Didn't the Lord watch over his people for good? Their actions were not accordingly. They did not deserve it. However, constantly there was war among these four generals, especially among their children. Finally, the king of Egypt was defeated by the king who lived in Syria, causing the Jews to come under the power and rule of the Syrians. A terrible time began for the Jewish people. For, come, in our thoughts we will go to Jerusalem, upon the mountain of Moriah, the same mountain where once Abraham had laid his son Isaac upon the wood, stands the temple. The doors of the Lord's house stand wide open. Let us also enter. The brazen altar of burnt offerings stands in the court. But next to the altar stands an image, an idol. The priests walk around. They are going to offer. Everything is arranged for this sacrifice. Look, the animal which will be offered is already being led into the temple. Grunt, grunt. But what can that be? A few men drive a swine, a pig before them. Grunt, grunt. What? Must this pig be offered? Can that be done? Is that permitted? A pig is an unclean animal. It wasn't even allowed within the temple. Surely an unclean animal may not be sacrificed. Terrible. That is a desecration of the Lord's house. How is this? How can this be? What has happened? Listen. The Jews have come under Syrian power. At this time, a wicked king is ruling over Syria. His name is Antiochus Epiphanes. He hates the Jews and the God of the Jews. The Jewish people must forget their God. The Jews must become heathens. Therefore, this king had placed the idol in the temple. That is why he had ordered wild swine to be offered instead of a lamb or an ox. He does this to torment the Jews. Thereby he grievously insults the God of the Jews. Besides, the Jews are forced to eat the flesh of these pigs. But God had commanded them in his laws that they were not to eat the flesh of unclean animals. Therefore some Jews refused, but then they were slain. The Israelitish feasts were forbidden. The Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles were no longer to be celebrated. Offerings to the God of Israel were no longer to be brought. If a Jewish mother came to the temple to present her infant son to the Lord, they were put to death by the cruel soldiers. The Jews never experienced such terrible times before. This horrible persecution lasted 3.5 years. Oh, the cry of distress from the children of Israel ascends to heaven. Daily, the upright and God-fearing Israelites entreat the Lord for deliverance, for relief from this great distress. These many prayers are heard and answered by the Lord. God shall give deliverance. An end shall come to this dreadful oppression. In those days, a priest lived in a Jewish village near the Mediterranean Sea. Mattathias was his name. Recently, he had begun to look very old. His hair had turned gray from grief and misery. Several times he had been to Jerusalem and had seen the persecution which daily took place in the temple. When he returned to his home, his heart wept because of all the wickedness which he had witnessed. One day a messenger of Antiochus Epiphanes, the king, comes to that village. He comes with the command that from now on the Jewish people must also sacrifice to the idols in other places. So, not only in Jerusalem, but also throughout the entire land, the heathen idol worship must be introduced. When Mattathias hears this news, he shakes his head decidedly. With a firm resolution, he answers, "No, I will not sacrifice to idols. I will never do it." Yes, Mattathias kills this messenger. Soon it is known abroad what Mattathias has done, and the Jewish people decide to help the courageous priest. Everywhere they run for their weapons. A dangerous rebellion breaks out. Jewish men come marching from all places and soon form a large army. Now this priest Mattathias had 5 sons. They were 5 young, brave, vigorous fellows. They will command the Jewish soldiers. These 5 sons received a new name, a surname. In history, they are always called the Maccabees. The battle began with mighty Syria. It is too difficult to tell you all about this war, and you would not understand it. But one thing I will tell you, and that is what the result of this war was. The Lord helped the Jewish army, which was commanded by the Maccabees. Many times the army of Antiochus Epiphanes, the cruel monarch, was defeated. The Syrian soldiers were driven from Jerusalem, while thousands were slain. Immediately the Maccabees cleansed the temple. The idol image and the strange altars are cast out. The heathen priests are slain, and the worship of the Lord again is resumed. These cruel enemies are not only driven out of Jerusalem, but they also are shamefully driven out of all the land. The Jewish people, again, are free. The Lord gave deliverance and relief. However, the Jewish nation was not free very long. Another, a new kingdom arose. That was the Roman Empire. More and more nations were being subdued by the Romans. At last, they also came into the land of Canaan, and the Jews also were subjected by the Romans. They were not oppressed, and they could worship the God of their fathers unhindered, but they were not free. From now on, they belonged to the mighty Roman Empire. They had to obey the laws of the Roman Emperor. They had to pay taxes to the Romans. Yes, a Roman army even came into Judah and Jerusalem. The Roman Emperor appointed a governor over the Jewish nation. This meant he would rule over the Jewish people in the emperor's name. He was an Edomite. His name was Herod. He was made king over the Jews by the Roman Emperor. He was called king, but he really was not, for he had to obey the Emperor of Rome. So Herod was actually a servant of the Roman Emperor. The Lord Jesus was born during the reign of Herod. This has been a difficult chapter, boys and girls, but I felt I should tell you about it. Now you know why the Persians reigned over the Jews at the time of Nehemiah, and why the Romans reigned over them when the Lord Jesus came. This is the history of the Jewish nation during the last 400 years before the birth of Christ. I will repeat it very briefly. Probably you will be able to remember some of it. First, the Jews served the king of Persia. Afterward came Alexander the Great, who conquered the Persian Empire. Next, the Egyptian kings reigned over them for 100 years. After that, they were cruelly oppressed by the Syrians, especially by Antiochus Epiphanes. But God delivered them from this oppressor. The Maccabees, who were the five sons of the priest Mattathias, conquered the Syrian army and drove them from their land. Thereby, the Jewish nation was set free for a while. Not long after, they were subdued by the Romans. The king Herod ruled over them as governor for the emperor of Rome. During his reign, the Messiah was born. That, in short, is the history of the Jewish nation from Nehemiah to the time when the Lord Jesus was born.